So Azurus is a very popular, let me know, is that too loud? No. Azurus is a very popular BitTorrent client, as we heard about on Wednesday in the BitTyrant talk. It's got about 1 to 1.5 million users at any given time worldwide. Because it's such a large distributed system, Azurus requires good node and data locality to achieve good performance. To achieve this, it uses network coordinates, which embed physical internode latencies into an abstract metric space to provide for latency prediction. So unfortunately, the Azurus network coordinate system was inaccurate and unstable. So it wasn't providing good latency prediction. Its developers found our work that addressed similar problems to what they were seeing on PlanetLab and contacted us. And then we worked with them to analyze and tame their network coordinate system. So BitTorrent is a protocol for file sharing. Instead of the initial content provider having to take the bandwidth hit for providing to all of the users that want to download a particular file, nodes are able to find other nodes that have the file or pieces of the file and download from them. So the upside of this is the initial content provider doesn't need to shell out money for bandwidth. The downside of this is that BitTorrent, at least as it is now, consumes a huge portion of the total internet bandwidth, with estimates ranging from 18 to 55%. So we've got an existing swarm, that is nodes who are currently exchanging pieces of a file, and we've got a new node who wants to join the swarm and download the file itself. So the first step in this is that it contacts what is called a tracker, who keeps a list of nodes that are currently downloading from each other. The tracker records the IP address of this new node so that it can hand out its address to future requesters. And then it responds with a small subset of the nodes that are already in the swarm. So then this new node can then contact some of the guys that are already in the swarm and initiate downloads from them. What this leads to is what I'm calling unbiased swarms, where you've got essentially random connections in a network leading to a great deal of inter-ISP traffic. What would be a much more preferable scenario is if we had what I'm calling locally biased swarms, where instead of the tracker handing back some random list of nodes, it instead hands back nodes that tend to be nearby the requester, and leading to much more local connections. So the two benefits for this would be that the peers would be likely to see improved bandwidth because they would be their traffic would be less shaped by their ISP. And in addition, it would make ISPs happier because they would be exchanging less redundant BitTorrent pieces. So the contributions of our work are we provide evidence that network coordinates can be used to make what we're calling locality-aware anycast decisions. So you can think of what the tracker had to do as an anycast type decision because it had you know, thousands of possibilities that it could hand back to that new node. And instead of handing back a random set, it could hand back a locality-aware set, improving performance. So in the work, we also developed several new techniques. For example, ones that continue to provide good latency prediction while minimizing overhead. And we also looked at keeping good accuracy under churn, which is obviously something that the Azurus system experiences. We looked at a good deal of data from this live internet scale system. In the paper, we look at a large latency matrix of the end users. But of course, there's a good deal of other data that would be useful for future research. So I'm going to give a little refresher on how network coordinates work. Then I'm going to talk about our methodology, how we analyzed and refined Azure's coordinate system. And then I'm going to highlight two of the more interesting problems and solutions that we came up with in the paper. And then I'll conclude. So how do network coordinates work? What they do is they embed internode latencies into a metric space. So the basic idea is that you want to be able to measure to a small subset of the network, and then establish a coordinate for yourself, and then be able to predict measurements, the many measurements that you haven't made to the rest of the system. In practice, it turns out that you can have decent prediction accuracy by using a low-dimensional Euclidean embedding. And other people have looked at using other forms of embeddings. So I'm going to talk about how one particular network coordinate algorithm called Vivaldi. Hello? Oh. Test. There we go. So one particular algorithm called Vivaldi refines coordinates over a series of steps. So what it does is each node performs just a small adjustment, which, when added together, minimizes global latency prediction error. So I'm going to show how A refines its coordinate with respect to some node B. So A has got its own coordinate. And what it needs is it needs B's coordinate and a new round-trip time estimate to B. So it asks B for its coordinate. B responds with this coordinate. And based on the time that took, A can say, here's a new round-trip time estimate to B. So let's say it was 60 milliseconds. It can also say, here's what the coordinates predict about my latency to B. In this case, 50 milliseconds. So A can say, I'm too close to B. And it can move to a more ideal location with respect to B. It can then repeat this process with its neighbors, let's say C, D, and E, which are in turn doing the same process with their neighbors. So A is transitively learning about the network, the rest of the network, through them. So let's say there's some new node X that A has never communicated with, and B sends A X's coordinate, A is able to predict its latency to X. A is able to predict its latency to X. If A also has Y's coordinate, A is able to determine whether or not X and Y are nearby each other or far away from each other. And this is the functionality that we wanted the tracker to have back in the BitTorrent example. So onto some methodology. So we had two main goals in our study. We both wanted to understand the causes of inaccurate latency prediction, and we wanted to refine the coordinates. We wanted to improve their accuracy. In particular, that's what the Azure's developers wanted out of our collaboration. So we went through this process a couple of times. The study refine cycle. And we used two main processes to study the performance of Azure's network coordinate system. We used fine-grained methods and coarse-grained methods. So the fine-grained methods we ran on a small slice of the system. We instrumented Azure's clients and then ran them on about 300 Planet Lab nodes, you know, logging in detail the behavior of each update. And then we sucked these logs down and analyzed them offline. But then, in order to provide a coarser but much broader view of the system, we were able to insert statistics into the Azure's clients that were run by about 10,000 users, because they were not willing to let us generate enormous logs on their machines. So these stats summarized sort of the instantaneous behavior of the coordinate on a particular node. And then we were able to crawl the network and download these stats. So some challenges in measuring this live open system are that it's impossible to acquire sort of the ground truth, you know, this all-to-all, million-by-million latency matrix. Our poor man's version of that was to make a Planet Lab to non-Planet Lab rectangular matrix against which we could do simulations. Another problem is that it's impossible to force clients to run our latest and greatest code as much as we would like them to. So what we were able to do was check into the Azure's CVS branch, and then it turns out that about 10,000 Azure users run a plugin which automatically upgrades them to the latest and greatest code. And about 50% of these 10,000 users would update to the latest within about a day, and 75% within a month. So this meant that we weren't able to do just tiny changes and then observe their effect over the broader system. So I'm going to highlight the first problem that we addressed. So Azure maintains its DHT and its network coordinates with the same sets of messages. So its DHT, you've got a bunch of nodes that are in the routing table, needs to make sure that they stay alive. For that purpose, it uses pretty frequent heartbeat messages. And then periodically, it wants to make tests about putting new nodes into the routing table. And these are less frequent. And the network coordinate update messages are then just piggybacked onto these DHT maintenance messages. So the downside to this is that means our network coordinates are limited to the view of the routing table. So we're getting zero maintenance, but we're getting a much more limited view of the network. And it turns out that Azure's biases the entries in its DHT, not surprisingly, to local nodes, to nodes that are nearby us. So in a sense, what this creates are locally accurate islands, where I'm accurate to guys who are very nearby me, but then I have poor prediction accuracy to guys who are very far away from me. So one strawman solution to this is to maybe make the push and pull of an update proportional to the distance that guy is away from us. So the downside of this is that we would need to figure out a good weight for these occasional long-range contacts. But a broader problem is that it would produce high coordinate instability. So we would hear from some long-range node, we would make a huge adjustment in our coordinate, and then all of a sudden we would have poor prediction accuracy to the rest of the network that we formerly had good accuracy to. So our solution to this is that instead of boosting these long-range contacts all at once, extend their impact over a long period of time. So in effect, what we're doing is we're going to optimize against the whole recent network, but instead of weighting all of our springs at equally, we're going to weigh them by the staleness of the information. So we call this decaying tug of the information. We call it neighbor decay. So in effect, what this is going to do is this is going to limit the impact of these high-frequency neighbors, which are the entries in our DHT, which we were hearing from very frequently. And it's going to extend the impact of these low-frequency guys who were far away that we only heard from briefly. So recalling the original adjustment step, we optimized our coordinate solely with respect to the node that we had just heard from, let's say B. So in our new adjustment step, what we're going to do is we're going to optimize against our entire recent network. So, and if you think of Vivaldi as spring relaxation, in a sense, what we're doing is we're keeping the springs there, but we're letting them get looser as they age, so that they're not pulling as tightly as the information gets older and older. So algorithmically, what we do is we compute the force for each node, and then we just normalize this by the age of that information, and then add that to this aggregate force, and then finally adjust our coordinate based on the aggregate force F. So I'm going to show a little video that compares using neighbor decay without using neighbor decay. So I've got two coordinates running on the same node. The one with neighbor decay is green. The one without neighbor decay is red. And so both coordinates are experiencing exactly the same measurements with other nodes. They have exactly the same neighbors, and they're experiencing them at the same time. So I'm also showing the accuracy of the coordinate with neighbor decay with respect to the known network and the one without neighbor decay, and the percent improvement in accuracy for the coordinate with neighbor decay. Also note that this is a it's a 3D Euclidean space instead of the 2D Euclidean space that I showed in the examples. So the thing you want to keep your eye on are the two big dots. We've got the green dot that is the coordinate with neighbor decay, and the red dot that is the one without. And what you'll notice is that the red dot, the one without neighbor decay, tends to jump all over the place as it receives these new updates, whereas the one with neighbor decay just kind of smoothly goes into a nice position and doesn't bounce around, keeping its instantaneous prediction ability to be much stronger than the one without neighbor decay. Okay. So that was neighbor decay. So that's nice. You know, that technique plus some of the others that we talk about in the paper improve accuracy. But what is their net effect on application performance? I mean, do they actually help applications involving decisions with that depend on node locality? So the problem that we look at to analyze this is DHT traversal within the Azurus DHT. So Azurus uses a DHT to store what they call a distributed tracker. The nodes are going to contact very frequently, and because they're going to contact it frequently, they need lookups to these distributed trackers to be quick and efficient. So can we use the latency prediction that network coordinates provide to improve these lookups? So to understand that question, you need to know how Azurus's DHT works. It uses the Kademlia algorithm, where distance between keys is defined as the XOR distance between those keys. So we've got our routing table, we've got some target key, and our first step in Kademlia is to find the node in our routing table whose key is nearest to the target key. So we're then going to send a message to that node, the one whose key is logically nearest to the target key, and then it's going to respond with nodes that are even nearer logically than the nodes that we already knew about. And then we're going to keep walking toward the target key until we find a node that is actually storing the value of this target key. So our optimization to this, which is similar to an optimization in CORD, is to try to find a good trade-off between making this logical progress toward the target and the delay that each hop is going to incur. So first, what we're going to do is we're going to eliminate logically distant hops that are not making good progress to the target, ones that would be expected to greatly increase the number of expected hops. So that leaves us with a sublist of possible options to take for the next hop. So then we're going to use the coordinates to break ties in favor of taking the lowest latency path. So in our evaluation of this optimization, we took XOR, which is always taking the direct logical path. We took our optimized coordinates, which include the neighbor decay method plus some other methods that we look at in the paper, what choice it makes out of this sublist. And then fortuitously, the original coordinates without our optimizations were being run in parallel with our new coordinates, so we were able to say what choice would it make out of this sublist. And then we picked randomly from the sublist also. So our actual experiment was we put 250 keys into the DHT, and then for each key we performed 4 lookups, one using each method, and then we repeated this 10 times. So I'm going to show you the results from this experiment. I'm going to show the cumulative distribution of lookup delay, where being faster is better. So I'm first showing how XOR performed, where we're always choosing the logically nearest guy that we know about. So the first thing to note is that the median delay is under 200 milliseconds. And this is because Azure has a fairly large routing table, and so some of the hops actually completed, or some of the lookups just completed in one hop. The other thing to notice is that some of the lookups did experience long delays, and that's because one of the lookup or one of the hops contacted some node that was very far away from us. So the one way around this is to have parallel lookups, but the problem with that is that of course introduces extra messages. So XOR versus random, you can see that there is some potential penalty in not always choosing the direct logical path. So sometimes choosing poorly from our list is going to introduce longer paths. But clearly it is possible to make a good choice out of the path. So the original coordinates do make an improved choice over XOR and random. In just taking the 80th percentile, they improve the lookup performance by 24%. So our new and improved coordinates make an even better choice from this sublist of possible hops by again, at the 80th percentile, they improve the lookup speed versus XOR by 33% and versus the original coordinates by 12%. But the main takeaway from this is that we showed that using these network coordinates, which we were able to gather at zero maintenance cost, that they were able to aid the application in making smarter locality-aware decisions. So in conclusion, I've shown, talked about our methodology, how we gathered coarse and fine-grained statistics from this live running system. I talked about the limited horizon problem, where our coordinates were locally accurate but globally inaccurate, and talked about how we smoothly incorporated these long-distance measurements. And finally, I showed how the coordinates could be used to smartly pick from a list of options so that we had improved latency decisions. So I encourage you to check out our Pixidia project, which we're running on SourceForge. It uses the same code base as to what is in the Azure's project. We run an instance of Pixidia on PlanetLab, and so if you don't want to run it yourself, you can just contact these nodes and see what coordinates are on a particular PlanetLab node. Or if you want to build it into your application, we have a library implementation, and there you can also find links to the data that we look at in the paper. Thanks, and I'll take any questions. Well, so as it is now, sometimes the list of possible hops is 1. The size of it is 1. So, and if that guy is a long, it takes a long time to reach, then you're going to hit long delay there, right? So something that we've been thinking about is seeing if that first hop is likely to be far away, and then maybe expanding the size of the list to choose to even fall back and choose an even greater logical detour. And then another option is to use parallel messages.
Hi, John Hunt. Petros Magnatis, Intel Research. So I was wondering, have you had any feedback at all from those 10,000 people who regularly get downloads, any gifts, or has anything come out that, you know, would tell you that they're happier, or have they been completely silent?
Well, I mean, from communication with Paul and the other Azure developers, I mean, you know, they're very happy with these results. And I mean, so indirectly, yes. I mean, what we're currently doing is trying to build in that tracker optimization that I showed at the very beginning. And I mean, then I might receive gifts from ISP operators who are happy to see that their traffic has been reduced.
So far, what's running in the mainline client is the improvement in the network coordinates component.
Yeah. Well, actually, they're the old style and the new style are still running in parallel. Well, I mean, we do try to cut off the staleness of the information at you know 30 minutes. I mean, that was our timeout, but. I mean, it's true that you know, if some node is experiencing a huge amount of change, and we talk to that guy, and you know, we only hear from him very briefly, then we're going to continue to think that he's at his old location when, in fact, we'd be better off contacting him maybe and learning about his new location, or incorporating the idea that he is a very, you know, that he is undergoing a lot of change over time.